Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Lovely to hear the unmistakable but unfortunately increasingly rare sound of the common cuckoo. Now, these amazing birds are starting to arrive in Ireland around now, and their iconic call will be heard in all 32 counties for the next 3 months, because they're going about the important business of mating before they fly off again. Niall Hatch is the head of communications and development at Birdwatch Ireland, and he's here with me in the studio to tell us all about them. Good morning to you, Niall.
Morning, Claire.
Lovely to have you with us. So where is the cuckoo arriving from at the moment, firstly?
So they come from sub-Saharan Africa, and we've only found out quite recently, actually, through a tracking project by the National Parks and Wildlife Service, that they're actually coming from the Congo rainforest, from the Congo Basin. So they're travelling a long way to get here, really quite an epic journey.
And why are they making the journey?
Well, they're coming here to Ireland and to elsewhere in Europe in order to breed. Now, famously, of course, cuckoos don't make their own nest. So the male who does that cuckoo song that we just heard there, he's arriving in the next couple of weeks here into Ireland, and he wants to try and intercept as many females as possible as they're migrating back. And then, of course, then they'll mate. The male's job is done then. The female will lay her eggs in the nests of other birds, will then return to Africa. So they really just come here just to breed and actually spend most of their lives in Africa. Mm-hmm. So it's very much an African bird that comes here.
So that sound that we just heard, that's the mating call.
And, that's right.
And the female hears that then, and she can't resist it.
That's exactly right. So the male will try and position himself in a place where he would be able to broadcast over as wide a space as possible. So they tend to prefer open ground. Places like Connemara, the Burren, the Aran Islands are still very good for the cuckoos. They would have been much more widespread across Ireland elsewhere. But as habitats become more fragmented, as places become more built up, it's actually harder for the cuckoo's call to carry. So the male wants to be in the jockeying for the best position where he can attract as many females as he can.
And who does? There's such a bad rep for the nest stealing. Who does the nest stealing? Is it the male or the female? Or
it's entirely the female. So the male's sole job in the partnership, if you can even call it that, is the mating. And then his job is done. The female will then go, and she will lay her eggs always in the nest of the same bird species that raised her when she was a chick. Mm-hmm. So this instinct is very strong there. As far as we know, there's no conscious thought in this. People do think of them being evil or bad, but they're just doing what comes naturally to them. The main host in Ireland is a bird called the meadow pipit, which is a relative of the wagtail. It's a brown streaky bird with speckles on its chest. It's very widespread in Ireland, though it too is declining. And that's one of the reasons why cuckoos are also in decline. And many of our female cuckoos will lay their eggs in the nest of that bird. There's other ones will use another species called the dunnock, which is a more common garden bird. And there's other species as well. And she's evolved so that her eggshells will mimic the pattern of the host species. So that's why it's so important she puts them in the right nest.
Extraordinary. So yeah. They know exactly what they're doing.
Well, how much they actually know or how much is genetically coded instincts, we're not sure. But it seems that it very much so, if she lays them in the wrong nest, the parents will reject it. The egg is a lot bigger than those of the host species, but that doesn't seem to matter. The unwitting foster parents don't seem to notice that. It's the colour that gets them.
Right. Okay. So they just say, we'll take the big egg. That's unusual. And we'll look after that chick as well. Now, we get the common cuckoo here. There's another species of, or another type of cuckoo that goes to Spain. Is that right?
That's right. So within Europe, we have these two species, the common cuckoo, which unfortunately not living up to its name anymore, really, in Ireland, not, no longer common. And then there's the great spotted cuckoo, which you find in parts of southern Europe and into Asia. And it also lays its eggs in the nests of other birds, but it usually uses magpies. So it's quite different. And there are many other cuckoos around the world, some of which lay their eggs in other birds' nests. We call that brood parasitism, and some don't. Some do build their own nests. But our European birds, the cuckoos, they never make their own nest.
Right. So tell me then about the declining numbers, which we're all very sad and sorry to hear. So the common cuckoo is on the way down in terms of what we're seeing coming to Ireland at this time of the year.
That's exactly right. And that's a common story, actually, for a lot of what we call our trans-Saharan migrants. So the birds that would nest here in Ireland and elsewhere in Europe and then spend our winter in sub-Saharan Africa. So probably the most familiar would be the swallow. Again, a common bird in Ireland, but one that's showing similar declines. But there's many other species in the same boat. They're not related to each other necessarily. The main thing is that they eat insects and they cross the Sahara. So climate change is playing a major role there. Mm-hmm. Also, things like changes in habitat, particularly agricultural intensification in Ireland, that's played a big role in the decline of these species. And the cuckoos are hit by it for several reasons. The migration, of course, as the weather becomes more unsettled, as conditions change in the Sahara and in the Atlas Mountains and so on, that affects their migration. Then when they arrive back here, their main food are the hairy caterpillars of moths, which other birds don't eat. So they have them all to themselves. But climate change is affecting the emergence of those. They tend to be hatching out earlier than they would. It's going out of sync with the curlew breeding season, cuckoo breeding season. And then what happens then as well is there's also then the impact on the host species. So the birds like the meadow pipit that the cuckoo relies on to lay its eggs in the nest of, they're becoming more fragmented, more spread out. They're declining too. So all of these things are hitting the cuckoo at once. So it's not a great picture for them, unfortunately.
Right. So it's just so circular. So that hairy caterpillar is crucial to the story of the cuckoo.
Absolutely. So these caterpillars, they've evolved these hairs that are very irritant, very irritating. If humans touch them, they hurt our skin as well. Most birds won't touch them. But the cuckoos have evolved a special digestive system that allows them to eat them without any harm. So where those caterpillars are abundant, they do very well. And that's why cuckoos are still very common in places like the Burren, where there's so many native plants still, where these caterpillars can live. But in the rest of Ireland, where we have a lot of agricultural monoculture and it's not very welcoming to many insects, that has a big impact on the food supply for the cuckoos and of the meadow pipits that host the babies as well. So it's, many things.
Okay, so you mentioned there the Burren is a good place to see them. Also Connemara.
Yeah, that's right.
Where else might we hear and see a cuckoo?
So luckily, they do still breed in all 32 counties of Ireland, but the west and the southwest are the main areas for them. Killarney National Park is another very good spot for them. Parts of Donegal, particularly around Glenveagh, that's very good. On the east coast, Wicklow is still quite good. The Wicklow Mountains National Park around Glenslough, Lochdan, that kind of area. Also, along the south coast, people will often hear, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, actually, the first cuckoos that arrive in the likes of Wexford, Waterford and Cork, they will often stop for a few days just by the coast to try their luck, to try and intercept some females that come in before they then disperse further north throughout Ireland. Mm-hmm. So you can hear them pretty much anywhere. And some of the boglands in areas like Westmeath, Kildare, those kind of areas, Offaly, you can still hear them there too, but not like they used to. It used to be that you'd hear them in every parish in Ireland, and sadly that's no longer
the case. That's not happening now. Well, let's go back then to what happens when the female lays the egg in the nest that she has decided is appropriate for her to do so.
Yes.
And you're explaining to us that her genetics tell her what's the right nest to choose. What happens then?
So what she does is she first of all has to find that nest. So she might have picked it out where it is, but then she has to make sure that it's not occupied by the parent. So cuckoos, they're larger bird than people expect. They're about the size of a pigeon. They're more slender, but they very much resemble a sparrowhawk. They look very hawk-like, even though they're not related to them. And it's thought that that's an adaptation to scare the bird that's sitting on the nest up, because a sparrowhawk has no interest in eating the eggs, no interest at all. It wants to catch a live bird. So the parent will flee to try and save themselves, thereby revealing their position and allowing a little window of opportunity for that female to come right in. What she will do is she will select an egg that's already in there. She'll usually eat it herself to replenish her own calcium and protein, and then she'll lay her own egg. And the whole thing just takes a matter of just a few seconds. She's in and out within 10 seconds.
So she gets rid of one and replaces it.
That's right.
Clever, isn't it?
Yeah. And then she'll go on and she'll do that maybe 15, 20 times, laying an egg every day. And then when she's done and her eggs are depleted, then she will fly back to Africa, because she doesn't need to be around to see what's happening with her offspring. She'll never see them. Then what happens is, even though the last egg to appear in the nest would usually be the cuckoo one, it hatches faster. The embryo has evolved to develop that bit quicker. And when it hatches out first, what the young cuckoo, it looks helpless, it's blind, it's naked, but it has a little depression on its back. And its very first instinct is to try and lever all the other eggs out of the nest and just let them fall out, using the depression in its back as a sort of a platform to hoist them out of the nest. And the unwitting foster parents will just watch this happen. They won't intervene. It just doesn't compute in their brains that something's wrong. They don't know what's happening. And then eventually, after a few minutes of this, or a couple of hours maybe, just the young cuckoo is left in the nest with no competition. And then it starts to call.
This is very sad. I'm not sure I like this. Go on.
It calls, and the cheeping noise that birds make in the nest, it stimulates the parents to come and feed them. The sound the cuckoo makes, it mimics the sound of multiple chicks calling at once. So it drives the parents into a frenzy to get as much food as possible. And then pretty quickly, within a week or so, often that chick has grown bigger than its foster parents. And you have this bizarre view of the parents perching eventually on the back of this bird to try and feed it, even though it's three times their size.
Mm-hmm.
And they have no idea that there's something amiss. The instinct is so strong to look after their chick that they don't see
the
problem.
So this is their baby, and they're going to feed it, and that's what they do.
Yes.
Even though this baby has gotten rid of all of their own.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And they just haven't evolved the mechanism to realise that this is a problem. They don't think anything's wrong.
And they teach it how to fly, do they?
Well, it knows how to do that itself. So
right.
What it does is it just one day when it's fed enough, it will leave the nest. The parents may still keep, or the foster parents will keep feeding it maybe for a few days and beg for food. And then something just goes in the young one's brain, maybe around early September. It thinks, I have to get out of here. And although it's never met another cuckoo in its life, it knows exactly where to go in Africa. And it takes the route down. Now, it used to be thought until recently recently they just went probably down through maybe through France, through Spain, across the Straits of Gibraltar into Morocco. Through this National Parks and Wildlife Service tracking project, they found actually really bizarre things. There was one in Killarney National Park. It left and went straight the following day. It was in Switzerland and then went to Bosnia and then down through the Balkans down into Egypt and then into Africa from there.
Right. So, see, I went into this thinking, oh, the poor old cuckoo is getting a bad rep. It doesn't know not to take the nests. But actually, it's a lot more sinister than just taking nests.
Well, it is. I think, you know, the way I would look at it as a conservationist and an ornithologist, that we humans do take even more nests. You know, we have destroyed the habitat so much, we've affected the species.
This is a good point.
Yeah. So sometimes we blame wildlife and nature for things actually that are we do as well, even more so.
And the populations of the other birds, the eggs that they're destroying, they can cope with that, or certainly up to this point, they could cope with that loss. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes. Because it's only, in the grand scheme of things, a bird like a meadow pipit that was super abundant in Ireland, you're talking, you know, maybe only 1% of them would have a cuckoo egg in them, maybe even less than that. So had no effect on the population. But as those birds themselves decline because of climate change and habitat loss and agricultural problems, all of those things, that then means that actually the cuckoos can have more of an impact. I don't think the cuckoos are having any meaningful impact still on those species, but we humans certainly are, and that ultimately is affecting the cuckoo.
Okay, well, we'll just finish now. We know what they sound like, but what do they look like? What are we looking out for?
So it's a larger bird than people expect. And sometimes if you hear the male singing or calling, he might be perched on telegraph wire on top of a tree. So they're about the size of a pigeon. They're more slender with very long pointed wings. And weirdly, they often cock their tail up when they're singing. So they look like almost the shape of a banana. And weirdly, they droop their wings below them. The males are stunning sort of lead grey colour with barring across the chest. And they all look like that. The females come in two colours, which is quite unusual. So many of the females, probably the majority, are also grey with a bit of brown around the chest.
Yeah.
But then some of the other females are rusty red, like rufous colour, looking completely different.
Right. Well, listen, if you don't see them, you'll certainly hear them, we hope, coming to a wooded area near you in the coming months. Niall Hatch from Birdwatch Ireland, thank you very much.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.